The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. We welcome you to another session of our program, The Clear Criterion. Inshallah, we will continue with the themes of the Quran, and today in particular we will consider, or we will reflect upon, some verses that describe the people of paradise and the reward given to those who shall enter paradise, and a mention of a covenant, a promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds creation of. Before I talk about any of these topics or share with you some points of tafsir related to these topics and more, I would like to follow our routine and share a reminder, a point of excellence regarding sending blessings, invoking blessings in favor of the best in creation, our beloved Prophet Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one particular hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam revealed how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed an angel at his blessed resting place. This angel has been given the power to hear the voices of the entire creation. And the role of this angel in this particular respect is that anyone who sends blessings in favor of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam from any part of the world, any creation that invokes blessing upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in the case of this particular theme of people and humankind, this angel reveals or relates to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, invoked blessings upon you sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. What a great honor this is. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is given our name, and not just our names, but the names of our fathers when we invoke blessings upon him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A reminder here that the angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed for this task is a servant of the prophetic court. Yes, this angel is there to serve our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And if this is the power of this angel and the ability of this angel, who is a servant of the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the angel is able to hear the voices of the whole creation, and at any given time, so many hundreds, possibly thousands of people invoking blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet this angel not only hears them, hears those voices, he knows of the people, and he knows of their fathers. If this is the ability and the knowledge of a servant of the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, what can one say about the knowledge of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, who is the greatest in terms of knowledge in the entire creation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the secrets of the unseen to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, which brings us to another point. Why would an angel be appointed to relate this? If this is indeed the case, one simple answer is, just as in the courts of kings, you have servants who make announcements and heralds who announce. This is the same for angels. this angel is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to serve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is an expression of the great and unique status of our Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is greater than any king or monarch of this world. He is the best in creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is one of the many honors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, that a servant of his court is there to relate this news to him. And the indication is enough that if a servant has this rank or a servant has this ability, then the master has this and a lot more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand. We reached the 25th verse of Surah Baqarah. I would like to share with you or go through the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, he says, give glad tidings to those who embraced faith, those who accepted Islam, those who believed in Islam, and performed righteous deeds. أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, that for them, there are gardens beneath which rivers are flowing. This is for those who believed and performed righteous deeds. Allah then says, كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلٍ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا. When they will be given a fruit from those gardens, they will say, this is the same sustenance that we were granted previously, whereas they were given a fruit which resembled it. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَحَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And for them in those gardens, there shall be pure wives, and they will reside therein forever. The reward of the people of paradise mentioned here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very first thing that Allah mentions is how those who believed and performed righteous deeds, how they will be blessed with gardens beneath which rivers are flowing, and they will be given sustenance. And this sustenance will have some kind of resemblance. When they will notice this resemblance, they will comment on this. But before we explain, or before I mention anything to further explain this verse, as the context, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives warnings to the disbelievers and the disobedient people, but he also reveals glad tidings or mentions the reward of those who are righteous or those who obey him subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a balance in the Quran. You will find both elements. And here, this is an example where previously there was mention of the hypocrites and the disbelievers and the punishment that they would receive, the punishment that they would face. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions reward for the believers and those who perform righteous deeds. Salihat in the verse which is mentioned, this refers to good actions in general. So anything that is considered to be good as per Sharia. This includes the obligatory actions and this includes all the voluntary actions too. So it's not confined to one particular type of good action. It's a general a description or a general term which covers or encompasses all kinds of good actions as per Sharia. And another reminder here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Iman separately and he mentions good actions or good deeds separately, an indication here that the ulama al-mufassirun mention that good actions are not necessarily a part of Iman. Iman is a separate thing and good actions or good deeds are a separate element. Coming on to the point about the sustenance and fruit that the people of paradise will be given. One qawl or one opinion is that the actual fruit itself or the sustenance that they will be given will look very similar. And this is why when they will take one, and they will bite it or eat it. The next one that they will take, due to the fact that it would resemble the one that they had before, they would say this, that we've had this before. But as they bite into it, or as they take their next morsel, they will realize that it tastes, the taste is different. So this is one of the pleasures of paradise. In fact, it's some of the ulama describe the sustenance that is given in paradise, that it's so that each morsel, when we, for example, without any comparison, just to understand, if we eat something that we like, so imagine whatever you want, you know, that you like as part of your meal. When you have the first bite, usually that first or second bite, that is the limit of the kind of delight one experiences in terms of taste. So first bite, maybe two or three bites after that. But in paradise, each time a person bites into a fruit or has a morsel, the next morsel will seem to be will seem to have more taste and more pleasing to him and give him more delight. This is something which we really can't understand fully, but it's an indication of the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the people of paradise. And another opinion that is mentioned by the Mufassirun is that some of the fruits or the provisions or the sustenance that the people of paradise will be given will resemble the fruits that people had in dunya, in the world. So Allah knows best, it might be apples or bananas or something, resembling those, some of the fruits that they had in dunya, so that they feel, they don't feel alien, or these things do not feel alien to them. They're almost familiar. And when you're familiar with something, whether it's company or whether it's something we eat, it makes, it's a lot easier. And it makes the experience a lot easier. This is one other reason that the ulama have given, or a possible alternative interpretation, that the fruit or sustenance will resemble that which they would eat in dunya, or they used to eat in dunya, or they saw in dunya. But this, in paradise, it will be a lot more pleasing, a lot more delicious, and every bite will give them delight. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how the people of paradise will be blessed with the company of pure women, pure partners. And generally speaking, people in paradise will be saved from any kind of impurity or any kind of foul smell or any such element that is displeasing in this world. This is as a general rule. So there will be no such impurity in paradise or bad smell in paradise. So the company that we keep, the partners that people will be with in paradise, For everyone and in any situation, in every situation, it will be a case of purity and a pleasant smell and just a pure environment. There will be no foul element at all. And the final point in this particular verse, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, and this is a reminder, a recurring theme of the Quran, that they will reside therein forever. Once someone enters paradise, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that once he enters this blessed abode, once he enters this abode of reward and bliss, he or she will never come out of it again. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us with his mercy entry into paradise without accountability. The next verse is a different theme. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces another theme, and then there is mention, or there is the people who question the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the manner or wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are addressed in the following verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُودَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Allah is not shy of stating anything in relating an example. Meaning when Allah is not relating or giving an example, He is not shy of stating anything in relating an example, whether it is a mosquito or above that. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. In any case, the believers know that this is the truth from their Lord. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the disbelievers. He says, And as for the disbelievers, they say, what did Allah mean by this example? يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ Allah leaves to stray many through it, and He guides many through it. And with it, He only leaves to stray the disobedient. Some important themes to cover in this verse of the Quran. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating that He is not shy as befits His majesty in stating an example for something. The point that is being made here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know from our general knowledge, or we might have heard from the ulama, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given different examples for different people and different situations in the Quran. One of the points of criticism coming from the disbelievers or the hypocrites who were disbelievers at heart was the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give examples that they themselves considered, it was their personal opinion, they did not consider those examples to be appropriate, or they did not, in their thinking, consider those examples to be something which befits divinity, or being a Lord of all the worlds, or being worthy of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces the point by saying that He does not, that He states examples as He wishes, whether that's an example that is an example of a mosquito, or less than that, or even something bigger than a mosquito. Whatever Allah in His divine wisdom chooses to give as an example, He will give as an example. And this is acknowledged by the people of faith. The people of faith know this Quran is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not question things like, why was this example given for a certain situation, or why was this example given for a certain person? Because they believe this is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so there is nothing to question here. Whereas the disbelievers would question, they would try to pick any point that they could in an attempt to criticize or to dismiss any aspect of revelation. So this verse was revealed as a refutation of those disbelievers and hypocrites who were trying to criticize revelation by saying what kind of example has been given here. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that in the Quran, the disbelievers, the false gods that the disbelievers believed in, were their worship and their belief in them being likened to a spider's web. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives different examples for different situations in the Quran. Guidance is likened to light, misguidance or sin is likened to darkness. And examples are not something, anyone who understands language knows that to criticize examples like this doesn't make any sense. The criticism itself is misplaced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that through this Quran, through this revelation, He leaves many to stray through it. Meaning there are some people who will come to the Quran and will come to revelation with a kind of stubbornness. And they will have this mindset of negativity. They will come with all this rejection and all this aversion, and they will read the verses like this, and this aversion of theirs will only increase, because the essence of their reading, the core of what they're doing is corrupt. When the intention is not even right, then guidance will not be attained. In fact, the opposite will happen. They will end up trying to pick out things to criticize, which are not really worthy of criticism. And in the end, they just increase their own aversion and their own misguidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how through revelation, many people will attain guidance. He will guide many through it. They will come, they will recite the Quran, they will reflect upon the Quran, and they will attain guidance. And there are others who will come with bad intention and not with an open heart, with a closed heart, and with a stubborn heart. And this will only increase their aversion. So He will leave them to stray. And those who fall into this trap and are left to stray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these people who do this are the disobedient people. He mentioned the word fasiqeen is mentioned in the Quran. And fasiq, generally speaking, refers to an individual who commits major sins. So someone who commits major sins is generally referred to as a fasiq, which is sometimes it's translated as a disobedient individual, sometimes it's translated as evildoer or wrongdoer. But anyway, a fasiq is one who commits major offenses, major sins in the religion. And then there are different aspects or different degrees of fisq. There is an element which is three degrees are mentioned by the Mufassirun. One is taghabi, which is when a person happens to commit a major sin. And he knows that this person who commits this major sin, he knows that it is a major sin. He did it, he was guilty of it, he committed it, whether it was, it might be unintentional even, but he realizes this is bad. And he knows and accepts this is a bad action or a major sin. The another degree or a second degree that is mentioned is inhimak. And this refers to habitual sin that is major. So committing major sins habitually. This is referred to as inhimak. Again, such a situation, why is it given a different description or is a different degree? One, he does it habitually. And secondly, he does not make any attempt to save himself. So it's almost like giving in to the evil of his self and habitually committing major sins. That's inhimak. And then there's a degree that is the worst degree. And this is described as juhud. And this is when someone commits an unlawful act, believing it to be good. So he's committing a forbidden act, but he actually believes that it's good. What he's doing is good. And obviously this is denigration of the religion itself. And this leads to one leaving the fold of Islam. So in the first two scenarios, when it was a case of fisq that is expressed in the taghabi form or the inhimak form, the first one, a sin which occurs and it's known to be a sin and accepted as a major sin. The second one, he is sinning habitually and does not make an active effort to refrain from that sin, but he does not consider that sin to be good. He is engrossed in it, but he does not consider it to be good. The third one, and the degree which takes one towards disbelief, is the degree of juhud, when one commits an unlawful act, believing it to be good, which is disrespect for the religion itself, and hence the culprit will leave the fold of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such a fate. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ أَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Those who break their promise with Allah after affirming it, sever that which Allah has commanded to be joined, and spread discord within the earth, these very people are the losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a promise and also mentions the breaking of something which was considered to be joined, and the fact that these people spread discord upon the earth. These elements make them people who lose out. They are the true losers. The promise that is mentioned here, according to one tafsir, is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala included in the previous scriptures about believing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final prophet, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one opinion, another qawl mentions that there are three different opinions that this promise either refers to the promise of the children of Sayyidina Adam alaihi salam in the realm of souls, as mentioned in Surah A'raf, verse 172, where they declared or they affirmed their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another element or another possibility is that it refers to the promise of the prophets alayhi wasalam. It's specific to the prophets alayhi wasalam that they would convey the message of prophethood and they would remain steadfast upon the religion. This is mentioned in Surah Ahzab, verse 7. And the third opinion is that it refers to the promise of the ulama, that this is specific for, to the ulama, that the scholars of every generation or every community, they do not conceal the truth, especially the scholars of the earlier scriptures where the truth is mentioned about the final prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, they do not conceal that. And this is mentioned in Surah Al Imran, verse 187. As far as joining is concerned, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded to be joined is that one does not sever ties, one joins ties or maintains ties with family members, with relatives and relations. And also the tie of the union of friends, friendship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's sincere, then even if one friend is in the east of the world and the other is in the west of the world, if their friendship is sincere, and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in light of hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring these friends together. They will reunite in the hereafter. Also, this includes believing in all the prophets alayhi wasalam and to believe in all the books that were revealed and to support the truth. And to sever this, to sever the bond or sever the tie, refers to severing the familial ties or not believing in the prophets or not believing in the previous books. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to act upon the Quran and to comply with the instruction given in this verse. May Allah accept our efforts. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.